六章一至到第九节，我们今天所用的译本为新译本，申命记第六章一至到第九节。以下是耶和华你们的神吩咐我教导你们的诫命、律例、典章，使你们在将要过去占领为业的地上遵行，好叫你和你的子子孙孙一生一世敬畏耶和华你的神，遵守他一切的律例、诫命，这就是我吩咐你的，使你的日子可以长久。以色列啊，你要听从，就谨守遵行，使你在牛奶与蜜的地可以享福，人数大大增多，像耶和华你列祖的神应许你的。以色列啊，你要听耶和华我们的神是独一的耶和华，你要全心全性全力爱耶和华你的神。我今日吩咐你的这些话都要记在你心上，你要把这些话不断地教训你的儿女，无论你坐在家里或行在路上或躺下或起来的时候都要谈论。你也要把这些话系在手上作记号，戴在额上作头带，又要写在你的房屋的门柱上和城门上。今天我们有罗牧师在当中的正道，今天的讲题是圣经能改变我的家。
今年奧運咧，其中一個人物菲比斯，美國嘅飛魚，可能你都會成日都會見到佢攞獎啊，談論佢啊，好多 Facebook 好多人都會提佢一啲嘅特別一啲嘅經歷啊，特別咧好多基督徒都會爭相傳閲或者 forward 佢嘅信息。講到咧前一排佢都好低潮嘅時間，雖然咧攞咗好多金牌，但人生都去到谷底，酗酒、吸毒、男女關係，甚至乎想自殺。可能竟然咧有個嘅。一個基督徒咧，一個嘅即係都係美式足球員嘅基督徒，一個嘅路易斯 Louis 收本書俾佢話，改變咗人生，就係、是、Rick Warren 牧師嘅 Purpose Driven Life 呢個嘅標竿人生。可能我哋你都睇過未定嘅教會曾經推行過一齊睇呢本書咧，扭轉咗佢，講到咧生命雖然去到好似爛泥一樣，但係願意咧彈翻起身，再一次落翻泳池，再一次咧去到人生滿有動力，再去遊，再去咧去發揮。好中意咧佢分享翻佢個嘅經歷啊！2014年嘅時候。即係賭場咁啊，賭錢啦，又幾次醉駕，佢講啲句子都話想自殺啦，話人生嘅結束係嘛，好多次都想咧，覺得啊點咁混亂呢，希望咧冇咗我，世界更加好，好難想像一個攞咁多金牌嘅游泳員講出咁嘅説話，冇咗佢更加好，甚至乎咧佢即係喺又坐監啊，又賭場啊，又吸毒，好多問題當中，男女關係都係，哇啲人都笑佢啊，哇日日都即係你游水好快，換女人換女朋友仲快。哇！好多好多嘅一個嘅啊人生，好多嘅負面嘅形象，大家都覺得啊好可惜，一個咁有能力嘅人，竟然咧人生可以去到咁谷底，甚至乎咧好想自殺了斷此生。好欣賞佢話啊，佢話喺呢本書改變咗佢標竿人生，令佢人生發覺佢話咧有一個力量比佢更加大，並且喺呢個地球上或星球上活著係有目的同埋有意義，係有目的同埋有意義。啊！呢個即係飛魚啦，係嘛？講呢本書對人生好大影響。其實今日我哋講到教會，我哋去到第四個核心價值，除咗《標竿人生》呢本書對好多人影響好大之外，今日講影響人生、影響教會最深嘅一本書，講到聖經。去到呢個第四個嘅核心價值嘅時候，佢講到咧，我哋話我們相信聖經係神所默示的，應當在信仰同生活上都受重視。圣经当为一切事的最终权威，教会领袖将靠着圣灵清楚地宣讲教导并展示神话语的真理。好喜欢他说呢，圣经是我们教会最紧要最终的权威。很多人很多不同意见，但很少打圣经，这意见是不是圣经所讲和圣经是不是吻合呢？特别好多人意见嘅时候，咦？究竟呢个系我想做嘅嘢，亦系圣经或者神透圣经话俾我听，教会要做嘅嘢呢？亦提到咧，圣经唔单止喺信仰当中，亦都系生活里边当受重视。想提过呢个飞鱼菲比斯，当佢揾到人生啊嗰、那个更紧要意义嘅时候，好中意唔单止咧去即系离开呢啲毒瘾啊，甚至乎咧走食啊咁样，更加好咧 就觸動我，就係去揾翻佢爸爸。佢爸爸九歲嘅時候離婚，離開咗佢。當佢人生改變嘅時候，唔單止再次游翻水，揾翻人生意義，更加願意咧重拾翻呢個破碎嘅關係，揾翻呢個爸爸。佢爸爸都好震撼啊！呢、這個即係名成利就嘅仔，唔認佢應該嘅係嘛？九歲你都拋妻棄子係嘛？今日竟然主動揾翻爸爸，同爸爸咧重建呢份關係。所信聖經都係咁樣，唔單止不過人生有一個意義、目標、方向，亦都生活當中人與人關係、人與神嘅關係，再次可以重修舊好，再建立我人生當中咧更加有意義，完成上帝俾你嘅目標。今日我哋講到咧係其中今次講到系列嘅其中一講，咁我預備咗四個嘅題目啦，喺八月九月份同大家一齊去思考嘅。今日要講聖經可以改變我的家庭啦，成個系列都講變聖經，講去改變人生啊。跟住下一個禮拜講聖經可以改變我心，講神嘅話語點樣入到去心當中咧，做一個心靈嘅手術。另外聖經可以咧改變我哋命運，要改變教會呢個信仰嘅群體。亦都咧八月九月有機會喺小組裏邊查經嘅話咧，透過兩段經文都講同樣類似嘅信息，但係希望透過查經，就透過詩篇咧，幫助我哋觸動另一個嘅心靈啊！唔單淨係理性討論，更加係心靈裏邊俾詩篇嘅詩人佢點樣愛神嘅話語咧觸動你，都透過咧詩篇呢九篇最出名嘅詩篇咧，講神嘅話語幾咁寶貴啊！同埋詩篇第一篇整個詩篇引言好特別啊！詩篇就係諗下祈禱啊、唱歌咁樣。詩篇第一篇嘅引言唔係祈禱，唔係講唱歌，佢講聖經。點解咁緊要咧？咁樣所以透過講道啦，透過查經，我哋再一次咧肯定翻聖經喺教會、喺你生命當中、喺你家庭裏邊、喺團契裏邊個緊要嘅重要性。今日經文咧，可以講係兩個好緊要嘅部分。咁啊，就先睇第一個先。聖經咧可以為敬畏神咧引導我哋嘅家庭，特別提到咧喺第一節裏邊，佢話。以下是耶和华你的神吩咐我教导你们的诫命、律例、典章，使你们在将要过去的占领为业的地上进行。想起刚才美国这个飞鱼菲比斯，哇，游水好叻，有没名成利就，但竟然呢人生好大失落，因为忘记了原来人生即是患难艰难的时候，我们会咬实牙根，我们不放弃，但是上了位之后了，開始咧生活開始即係慢慢鬆懈咗，慢慢咧沉淪喺唔同嘅酒色財氣當中。同樣嘅，以色列人喺曠野行緊兜緊路嘅時候，準備入迦南地前，神透過摩西同一班嘅第二代以色列人再次重申呢個戒命。入去迦南地好似人生一個好緊要嘅目標係嘛？以色列人曠野流浪接近40年，好多人都冇機會入去添，終於入到。就嚟入迦南地啦，好似咧，终于达标啦，终于做到佢哋人生好紧要的目标，得咗系嘛，掂咗，应该咧叫做咧可以即系上岸啦咁样。唔系、哦，你留意喺《生命记》六七八章，我上次讲都提过第八章，其实入咗迦南地仲危险。系啊，冇错，呢个系流奶与蜜之地，终于咧叫做咧 settle down 啦，可以安居乐业啦。但各样异地嘅文化。偶像好多唔同嘅试探一路嘅涌埋嚟，你唔好嘅预备自己嘅话咧，随时喺迦南美地呢边时候，更加离弃神，更加容易得罪神。处患难容易嘅，反而咧风光顺境嘅时候，更加咧让我哋松懈咗。喺呢个旷野之地，准备入迦南地之前，神藉著摩西吩咐下一代，经文好特别，佢话咧就系你们将要占领。为业的地上进行，今日我哋都想系嘛，好似飞鱼飞比斯咁，有一日名成利就都掂系嘛，人生到咗有啲地方达标啦咁样，但系冇谂过点预备自己？咦，风光嘅时候，我会唔会容易啲离弃神咧？甚至乎喺唔同嘅光景、人生阶段当中，其实咁神嘅话语点样引导我咧？我嘅目标除咗揾食发达之外，咁人生目标同其他人有乜分别咧？因为经文提醒我们，在以色列人准备在旷野入去迦南地之前，神透过这个的律法，透过神的话语，帮助他们在迦南美地的时候进行 obey do 是吧，进行要做的，甚至要去实践的。今天在这个经文里面提醒我们，圣经可以改变我们的家庭，改变我们的人生， 原来不单止只是读，当我们去实践的时候，真正的帮助你，让我们的心思意念行为让神的话语改变我们。刚才提到神的话语给你很紧要的目标是什么？遵行 obey， 遵行。正如耶稣基督在大使命里面吩咐我们，我凡我吩咐你们的都教训他们什么？遵行，遵守 obey， 都 obey。 所以今天这经文提醒我们，咦，上帝很想用神的话语去带领我们，帮助我们，由我们生命开始，由我们家庭开始。今天我们有这个的地震演习、火警演习，为什么？因为 我知道就来有地震嘛，可能有地震，又说这个呢叫 Big One， 最大的地震，可能去到九级都未顶。为什么 有演习？预备万一真的有地震的时候，我们不会被杀过这个手足无措，不知道怎么回应，甚至无论走个走佬袋啊、走烂袋啊，或者是地震袋也好，什么都好，预备嘛，预备很重要。今天我们会有地震演习、火警演习，怎么走呢？哪间房点由哪门出口呢？去哪里呢？这样试一次，到时真的震的时候、火警的时候都不用怕。其实人生都是神透过神的话语预备他的子民，万一遇到试探、遇到很掂的时候，当你很容易忘记神，当你拜偶像、被印象偶像吸了的时候， 你记得了，记得神的话语，记得怎样走火警。地震演习就预备你，万一你很掂的时候，不要忘记上帝，不要离弃上帝。更加透过两个很重要的心态，一个很重要的改变，去持守这个，去遵行神话语，就是什么？第一个是敬畏神， Fear God。 怎样去遵行神话语？怎样将人的生命愿意放在神的话语当中呢？你和我都有圣经的，我经常都有听到，经常都有查经，我都有主作，不过我们不回，是吧？为什么我们对神的话语不是那么体重呢？或者听完都好像没有听一样呢？这经文的下半部呢，一会讲，你讲到神的话语怎么去实践啊，怎么听啊，怎么 去记得啊，这样这都是紧要的，但是做法而已。但是先紧要讲什么？讲心态。你和我都有圣经，为什么我们不好体重呢？因为没有了头那三节很紧要的动机，很紧要的动力对正。经文说圣经不是拿来看那么简单，圣经拿来什么？遵行，要服从的。为什么要服从啊？在第二、第三节跟住第四、第五节讲两个很重要的原因。第一个是什么？敬畏你的神。经文说神给圣经我们去遵行，经文说好叫你和你的子子孙孙一生一世能够敬畏耶和华你的神。 Fear the Lord your God， 同埋遵行他的一切， by keeping all 律例诫命，跟住这日子可以长久。以色列啊，你要听从，就谨守遵行，使你在流奶与蜜之地可以享福，人数大大增多，好像耶和华你列祖的神应许你一样。这个经文提到第一个很重要的心态，敬畏上帝， Fear of the Lord， 敬畏神。我们有时会怕很多东西，圣经提醒我们，一个怕神的人不需要怕人， Fear of the Lord。 更加提到在耶稣基督引用了，就是在讲到怕、讲到惊的时候，他提到他说惊什么呢？他说一起读嘛，马利福音第十章二十八节，那些杀身体我想在神的话语当中，当我们遵行，我们都很惊，很惊人笑我们，很惊呢，哎呀，当做的时候会蚀底，是吗？遵行神话语会蚀底，又怕被人笑，可能你都想过，是吧？忠忠直直，终须乞食，是吧？遵行神话语好蚀底的，这个话在这个时代容易被人笑，好怕，好怕人怎么看我们，好怕人的嘴脸。经文第一个话，你怕不怕神？你是一个敬畏上帝的人， Fear of the Lord。 跟着讲第二个很重要的心态和向度，第四、第五节，就是藉着委身和爱主，一起读嘛。第四节，你要听耶和华我们的神是独一的耶和华，你要全心全性全力爱耶和华你的神。这经文提到呢，听好紧要，在整个的生命记当中呢，提起码六次啊，有啲讲到呢，即意思好紧要嘅，书麻嗰个嘅听，呢好紧要，佢哋嗰个嘅金句嚟，听神嘅话语。生命之道由听神嘅话语开始，紧要你听，真係当然佢哋当时呢 冇我哋咁样，人人有本圣经可以随时可以睇嘅。佢喺会堂当中，或者透过拉比、透过咧祭司、透过唔同嘅人咧去读俾佢听，啲好嘅听神嘅话语，听清咗神嘅话语。咁未算，经文提到佢话咩？尽力全个人、全心、全性、全灵，讲到全 whole being， 全个人尽力委身爱神。既然神系独一嘅话咧，正如对你配偶一样，应该咧要忠于、始终如一、独一嘅真神，全日、全力、全人去爱佢。呢就系第二个好紧要嘅心态，爱你嘅神。所以经文提过好紧要，都系话要用圣经可以改变我生命之前，一个好紧要嘅动机同埋向导，就是、深信咧透过敬畏神，透过全情投入我呢个主，我生命可以咧慢慢咧被去引导行啱嘅方向当中，一个好紧要嘅指南针。人生好多唔同嘅挑战，唔同嘅试探，敬畏神，全心去爱神，是我们每次定期检查我们的指标。有时人生好像菲比斯一样，或者他父母一样，或者他身边朋友都觉得名成利就都是一个很重要的目标，是吧？想要好像他一样，哇，真是掂，是吧？过了识你，名成利就，但看回他人生有了又怎样呢？人生除了名成利就之外，如果没有了上帝的心意，望没有完成上帝的使命，就发觉人生很空虚，最后落在酒色财气当中，好沉沦嘅一个人。今日我哋苦心自问，敬畏神，全心全力去爱神，系我人生两个好紧要嘅心态、动机同埋方向。得闲问下自己好嘛？好紧要嘅，因为你同我都好似以色列一样，入到旷野迦南地，系啊系啊，即系流奶与蜜之地啊！哇，做乜都得系嘛？甚至乎咧，即系安居乐业 ，settle down 啦系嘛？退休啦，上岸啦 ，Freedom 55系嘛？好想有，但可能正系最危险，离弃神、迷失上帝、揾偶像取代上帝，一个好危险人生嘅阶段。所以经文一开始头嗰五节就叫我检视自己嘅心态，唔好讲你以前，你今日做咪一个敬畏神嘅人？你今日系咪全心、全性、全力爱上帝？你的神，所以有咁嘅根基之后，我就会睇后边的几节，有六、七、八、九节，透过圣经点去实践呢两个好紧要嘅心态、动机同埋人生嘅方向，就藉着圣经咧如何建立我家。相信咧呢两段嘅关系好紧要，就系读圣经，但心里边唔系爱主，唔系咧好敬畏神嘅话，你同我越读圣越多。越来越似法利赛人，圣经攞嚟闹人啦、点人啦、攞嚟批评人啦、攞嚟圣经攞嚟大人啦，系嘛？如果心态冇好嘅自己敬畏上帝，好嘅尽心尽性尽力爱爱神，我哋越嚟越虚伪，越嚟越法利赛人。但同样嘅，净系口里边讲我要爱主，我要敬畏主，但又唔读圣经嘅话咧，同样都一个空泛嘅口号。同样话我愿意爱主，愿意咧敬畏神嘅时候。我透过圣经，透过不住去宣讲教导，用神的话语改变我们的时候，一个很重要可以活出上帝给你的使命，活出上帝在这些地方给你人生的目标和那个侍奉。若藉圣经建立我家，在第六节照第九节去看经文去怎样描述第一个的方法。第一个经文内在化，第六节 internalize， 一起读嘛。我今日吩咐你的这些话都要咧点样啊？记在心上，记在心上。心好似咧中国人都啱，好啱 key 啊！你心谂乜嘢噶咁样系嘛？希腊人都系心系谂冇 thinking， 而个心除咗嘣嘣嘣嘣跳之外咧，佢认为心系一个谂嘢地方 ，thinking 谂嘢地方。所以佢话咧，将你话将神嘅话藏喺心里边啊！如果用现代科学方法，梗系唔啱啦。心梗系藏喺脑里边啦，唔系心里边噶嘛，唔系心口，唔系心脏噶嘛。但希伯来人的思考就是心是一个想的地方，和中国人都好像今天将神的话语放在心里面，将神的话语藏在心中。意思是什么？这个当然是一个的象征的表达，意思是将神的话语内在化 internalize。 今天我深信人的行为和思考互相牵连的， 你行为是由你心里面想嘢，你心的价值观，你心想乜嘢影响的嘛。同埋你嘅做緊乜嘢都影响返你心里面想緊乜嘢。今日神话将神嘅话语藏在心中，以致你行为生活因着可以被改变。藏在心中只想啊，神嘅话语同咩关系呢？神嘅话语点会改变我呢？只想 internalize。所以背金句都好嘅方法啦，虽然好多团契已经放弃咗背金句呢个嘅优良传统同埋熟灵操练，好似都冇乜团契除咗公我已知啊，良善团有冇啊？仲有系嘛？除咗良善团、公义团之外咧，冇乜团契，仲有背金句呢、这个优良嘅熟灵传统，将神嘅话语藏在心中。以前咧喺香港信主嘅时候，啲导师都话记得背金句啊，将来你坐监嘅时候咧冇圣经咧，靠你背金句咧可以咧就挨过咁样，然后得啖笑一边会坐监啊？咦，睇下即系都唔系，都越嚟越好多，即系喺你香港、中国嘅话咧，喺唔同地方。信仰越嚟受多逼迫，你冇以为真系日都系咁顺风顺水啊！信仰好多唔同嘅挑战，我哋冇将神嘅话语即系藏在心中 ，internalize。第二个就系咩啊？第二个喺第六、第七节嘅上半部系咩啊？你要把这些话不断地教训你嘅仔女，咁啊留意，即系 New Living Translation 都话 repeat them again and again， 咁啊不住重复，长气唔紧要嘅经文啊。不住讲多几次，不住重复去教导你的仔女，教导圣经，除了自己藏在心中之外，更加不住去讲，不住去教。当然经文成在第即系喺第六七八九节都提到一个家庭的环境当中去实践、去传讲，甚至乎去默想神话。喺家庭环境当中，除咗去即系藏在心中之外，更加提到去点样嗰个嘅不断去教训佢嘅仔女，我嘅嗰个嘅做决定啊，都系由神嘅话语做紧要嘅基础。跟住去到咧七 B 啦，讨论圣经。第三个除咗咧藏喺心中之外，更加提到咧系即系同你提到教导同埋讨论圣经。无论你坐在家中，或者系行在路上，或者系躺下，或者系起来，都要咧谈论 discuss 讨论圣经。在这个的几个小点当中，你提到什么叫即是坐在家里而已，当然提到最好的应用就是吃饭，是吧？几时会坐在家里的你？古代最多是吃饭的时间，其实最好都很啱应用，吃饭的时候讲一下圣经，是吧？讲一下圣经。我即是小朋友，当然以前都是了，小朋友出世，由出世开始都很坚持的原则，吃饭一定不可以开电视。咁當然屋企都唔會有 cable 啦，又唔開電視啦。但係最難係咩咧？去到我媽屋企食飯啦，我爸屋企食飯啦，我外父外母屋企食飯咧，就唔係你控制啊嘛。個都係慣咗長開電視，一路睇電視送飯，你係咪咁樣噶？係嘛？香港人多數係咁噶嘛，食飯你唔好亂坐喎，坐錯位，你食玻璃大㗎係嘛？阻住電視咁樣，個個都係電視送飯㗎嘛，嚇係嘛？你都係咪咁啊？係啊，唔係，我見好多都係電視送飯。我就堅持吃飯一定要熄電視，係嘛？傾下人生，係嘛？傾下日常生活，傾下嗰日發生咩事啊咁樣。講下人生，講下信仰，講下今日有咩困難啊？一個好機會坐低吃飯嘅時間，傾下人生，傾下信仰。當然啦，這個唔開電視都一個好嘅方法。不過更難就係咩啊？睇食飯睇手機啊嘛，你明啊？我都鼓勵食飯唔好開手機啦，除非你死人冧樓嘅信息，如果唔係熄咗佢傾下偈好嘛？吃饭唔好开电视，唔好开手机，同家人倾下偈，讲下人生，讲下信仰，特别啲仔女，鼓励一齐啦，试下讲下，即系讲下你今日发生咩事啊，有经历神啊，讲好多嘢，讲乜都唔紧要，熄咗手机佢，熄咗电视佢。经文话坐喺屋企食饭，一个好机会咧，谈论信仰神嘅话语咧，喺我生命里边好紧要嘅位置。仲有咩咧？即系仲有，咦？睇到啊，行在路上啊，今日我哋好少行嘅，坐车咯，系嘛？driving 系嘛？你坐车就做咩多嘅？我中意咧就扭开即系 106.5 就系一个美国嘅电台，全部都系基督教嘅诗歌嚟嘅，同仔女听下歌啊。当然啲歌比较新潮啲啦，系嘛？比较 praise and worship 多咁，但系同佢听下歌、唱下歌咁样几好啊。咁啊，坐车都一个好嘅机会同佢分享信仰。透过坐车，你播啲乜嘢咧？其实你教导紧你嘅仔女。仲有咩啊？躺下起来即系乜嘢啊？ 即是说你那天的 start and end， 开始和结束都用神的话语做中间，起身坐下，即是那天的开始 start and end， 开始和结束都用神的话语做中间，做一个很重要的即是结束和开始。今天你和我灵修，无论早晚都不重要，是吧？有没有跟仔女谈下，今天讲圣经故事啊，灵修分享，甚至乎在神的话语当中，大家彼此有领受，开始结束。好似阿仔十一点钟，咁啊佢真系吵醒我，因为嗰朝咧星期六夜晚嚟嘅，即系星期日朝头早咧就教路加福音十五章，咁咧讲到呢、这个即系浪子比喻啦，同埋失羊啊、失钱比喻，佢听过好多次啦，所以佢睇定咧，除咗十五章之外，睇埋十六章路加福音讲呢个不义管家嘅比喻，睇完之后佢唔明。星期六夜晚十点钟吵醒我，啲不义管家比喻系点解咧？咁样即系吵醒我，一讨论下呢个嘅比喻嘅重点啊，睇定即系未教嘅嘢，啊几有意思，我觉得讨论下圣经，虽然瞓唔着，要讨论下圣经啊几好。今日我哋瞓唔着，我哋揾啲咩做咧？谂下，哇我自己瞓唔着，会做啲咩咧？谂下佢瞓唔着，佢讨论下圣经，边好好有提醒啊！坐下躺来，都让神嘅话语咧去引导我哋。仲有咧，我中意谈论呢个字啊 ，discuss。今日可能你喺屋企都唔好方便，我哋屋企都未信耶稣，甚至我屋企我都冇仔女嘅，点讨论啊？我哋有团契啊嘛。今日我哋有小组查经，好希望咧你喺小组查经当中都系，如果你冇翻嘅话咧，希望你翻一个啊嘛。透过讨论圣经，我哋彼此激励，都系上帝一个嘅方法，鼓励我哋透过讨论圣经，我哋彼此去遵行神话语，彼此激励咧一齐爱主。特别讨论圣经，讨论啲乜嘢咧？相信头先经文嘅上文下理由，第一节开始讨论，唔系净系讨论嗰个字点解，反而我相信系经文第一节话俾我听，讲乜嘢啊 ？Do 系咪 ？Obey 啊嘛，要进行啊嘛。我估系团契弟兄姊妹，如果你就算有团契都好啦吓，讨论嘅时候多少少时间讨论下点样实践好嘛？放啲教会都系，好多教会都系啦。都系查经嘅时候，都炒多个字点解啊？咩意思啊？咁样跟住点应用咧？大家就侧侧膊就闪咗去啦。但经文提醒我哋，我耶稣提醒我哋，都教训他们遵守嘛，系嘛？呢段经文嘅第一次都话 ，do it obey 系嘛？我想讨论嘅时候，我相信圣经都唔系讲好神学理论咁简单，更加讲好呢段经文点实践咧？所以你系查经组长嘅话咧，或者系甚至乎你组员，你都要求组长嘅。查经时候，呢经文查完啦，查完咁啊点咧？点用呢经文？点应用呢？我发觉有经文系比较难应用嘅，我同意，但我哋唔好避开佢好嘛？可以冇答案噶，但我哋唔好避开讨论。呢经文其实我查完有咩意思呢？做组长嘅，做组员嘅，试下谂下，透讨论圣经，我试下谂下经文同我哋有咩关系呢？而且一齐去活出神嘅话语。另外呢第八、第九节、第四的方法是什么？透过很创意方法传递圣经。创意方法传递圣经。经文话第八节，你要把这些话系在手上，戴在额上，还有写在门上。透过这三个的方法很特别啊。即是什么来的？怎么绑在头？怎么绑在屋呢？原来以色列人呢在古代又好，现在都有这样的习俗去实践这段经文。真的在绑在头上面的。他每日的祈祷都是将经文，就将生命记第六章的经文，就用纸仔摄在一个盒里面来到提醒自己，因为读经其实提醒自己，我不要忘记上帝，将神的话语藏在心中，尽心尽性尽意尽力爱我神。真的这样实践，我每朝的 morning prayer 祈祷的时候，就将盒将内藏经文一段这样就放在头里面，不要忘记神的话语。你見到咧有一個拉比個人咧個樣嘅物體啦，人啦咁就戴喺頭裏邊咧。另外嗰個 soldier 啊，嗰個士兵手裏邊都有手帶喎，除咗戴喺頭之外，戴喺手都可以喎。就係咁樣去咁樣翹住綁住戴喺手裏邊，唔好忘記上帝。佢都係按字面嚟到去進行嘅。提醒唔好忘記，係都有創意係嘛？所以盒放喺頭裏邊提醒自己係嘛？我手我頭咧都咧願意咧都係讓神嘅話語即係帶領掌管。啱啱提到咧。将神的话语咩啊？写门口里边，咁啊将呢个叫呢个门监咧，将一段经文 裏面有紙仔嚟嘅，因為我以色列嘅時候咧都買過幾個，咁啊裏面真係有段經文當中就係、是、生命記第六章一種好細紙仔經文咧就攝喺裏邊。呢啲嘅門鑑有咩用咧？咁樣都幾靚啊！有啲係即係唔同嘅金屬啦、木啦、啊、玻璃都見過啊！我買過有玻璃嘅，有個係木嘅，咁都好靚啊！咁啊好有特色嘅。攞嚟做乜嘢咧？咁樣就釘喺呢個門口啦。譬如喺美國嘅，美國到而家猶太人咧都有咧咁嘅傳統啊，將佢釘喺門口度，出入嘅時候咧都係摸下佢，出入門口都摸下佢，提醒自己啊，記得啦，遵行神話語，記得啦，唔好離開神話語啊！到今日嘅門口都係咁啊！上次提過啦，頭先提過啦，去以色列旅行嘅時候咧，唔單見到呢啲嘅嘢啦，賣啦，我酒店住咧，酒店房間間房門口咧都有條咁嘅嘢，內藏經文一條。咁就我見咧，我而家係唔知咩嚟啦，乜嘢嚟嗰條嘢又唔似即係初初唔知嘢咩嚟噶嘛？一見到唔係，我見到隔離屋、隔離房嗰啲猶太人出入門口都摸下嗰條嘢嘅喎。哦，即係佢真係咁樣去酒店都去。門口出入都摸下佢，仲有城門口咁啊，去耶路撒冷咧都係咧，城門口見到呢啲比較舊啲嘅金屬嘅，都係摸到係摸到都變曬形啦。咁但係摸到都擰曬，佢出入城門都摸下，提醒翻神嘅話語對佢緊要。出入城門口都摸下，佢真係按字面實踐，放喺門口，放喺城門嗰度，出入都提醒自己神嘅話語好緊要。神嘅話語咧，我哋進行神嘅話語係帶領我哋嘅咁樣，透過呢啲嘅具體嘅實踐。提醒自己，我覺得好有創意表達啊！今日我哋同樣都可以諗下嘅，綁喺、帶喺、寫喺。今日可能好嘅方法，你同我都有手機係嘛？會一啲 download 啲 app 提醒你每日嘅一開始第一個信息就是、一段經文嘅提醒，一段金句彈出嚟咧。好多方法啦，係嘛？但係試下用唔同方法提醒自己，我未必需要咧綁喺嘅額頭啊、寫手裏邊。用唔同方法，手機又得，或者咧有啲金句黏喺你嗰個嘅屋企書房又得，睡房又得，或者電腦嘅 screen saver 彈啲金句出嚟又得 ，wallpaper 又得，一開機，咦，見到你啊，神嘅話語好緊要，透過唔同嘅方法提醒自己，上帝嘅話語好緊要啊，提醒自己愛神嘅話語。所以今日透過咧兩個好緊要嘅重點幫助我哋，咦，所以話聖經能夠可以改變我哋家庭嘅時候。我透過好緊要嘅動機同埋心態咩？好深信咧，透過敬畏神，透過愛神，我進行佢嘅話語咧，上帝一路引導我哋家庭，引導我哋人生嘅方向。而點去引導啊？就係透過聖經，透過藉住聖經去建立，透過咧可以經文內在化啦，透過教導聖經啦，討論聖經啦，好有創意咁去傳達聖經嚟到去表達，所以有好豐富嘅經文咧，幫助去實踐裏邊一啲嘅內容。其实圣经里面都有很多很有创意方法，比如圣经里面透过圣殿里面的烧香闻到的祭物是吧食得的，今天我圣餐都有食得的，很少宗教透过食物敬拜神的，基督教用食圣餐去敬拜，其实都很有创意，是吧？当见到那个十字架有一个标记，想起耶稣的受死，透过水礼浸落水上翻水湿身的这个动作去表达咧，旧嘅我嘅罪，我嘅旧我都走咗去啦。呢、这个好紧要嘅象征嘅动作嚟到去咧，去经历嘅时候，一个好深嘅深层嘅一个嘅经历，透过啲信息教导紧你，教导你其他弟兄姊妹，好有意思啊，好有创意嘅表达。我有一次咧去大学嘅时候，见一个嘅基督徒艺人咧，佢一个喺原本喺伯尼里边咧，做一个好出名嘅艺人，神感动佢。用演艺事透过做戏去表达圣经、哦、我看他两场很有创意，第一场是我应该是第二年读书的时候呢、就是、见他做的，做两个钟头他一个人做了全卷的路加福音独脚戏、哦、自己对话，他讲的全部是圣经的、哦、即是整本路加福音背了，他又得闲扮下耶稣，得闲扮下彼得，得闲扮下玛利亚，还有一个人扮晒成个嘅路加福音，我觉得好劲啊！已经哇，跟住到第四年啦，佢又嚟做戏，我去睇佢啦。佢一个人做晒成卷嘅《使徒行传》啊，背晒，仲要系紫色走位咁啊，又扮下保罗，得人扮下彼得，一人扮下唔同人，哇，好劲啊！佢揾到佢嘅方法，用圣经嚟到去表达，好有创意。今日我哋用咩方法去表达神嘅话语？点去帮助自己，帮助你同你弟兄姊妹或者家人呢？去即系被神嘅话语去建立去改变咧，佢今日都有两个挑战啊！ 第一个就是我觉得是要保持传统的心态啦。怎样呢？就是这些，就是用神的话语作为很重要的，就是人生的方向，看重神的话语，这个这样的传统，一个很重要的方法或者这样的心态，有时候会忘记了呢？那么很重要听人怎么说呢？很紧张人怎么说呢？有很多不同的资讯呢，圣经过时啦，是吧？好似是吧？咁又觉得唔好紧张，唔系好即系去看重上帝嘅吩咐对我今日嘅影响。我心态会都忘记咗，咁如果都系勾咗啦，都有咩紧要嘢都系 Google 咗先啦，都少睇圣经系嘛？今日我会需要保持翻呢好紧要嘅深信，坚定相信神嘅话语。今日喺我哋婚姻、工作、做人、搵钱、家庭、凑仔。其实都很多的教导我们可以怎样去做人，怎样去敬畏神，怎样去爱人。另外第二个就是用新的方法去传递圣经。在不同的时代当中，基督教其实最前卫的，初初发明了印刷术的时候，第一时间是印圣经。最新科技都是基督教拿来传递福音。都望历史的时候，今天我们会不会基督教越来越落后呢？好多人都不敢做，很怕做，反而慢慢忘记了原来我们基督教曾经在以往历史当中用把握最新的方法将神的话语传给其他人的呢？另外万一你家得你一个信主的话，有时候很孤单的经文，你没什么关系跟我怎样啊，我得我信主这样。想起路加福音十二章四十九节，他说耶稣说我来是要把火投在地上，如果火烧着起来，这个是我所愿意的，我有应当受的洗，这是我多么迫切地期待这事完成。你们以为我来是要在地上有和平吗？不是的，我告诉你们，是要纷争。从今以后，一家五口将起纷争，三个反对两个，两个反对三个，他们将要起纷争。父亲反对儿子，儿子反对父亲，母亲反对女儿，女儿反对母亲，婆婆反对媳妇，媳妇反对婆婆。有时候我都很害怕，我哋好惊神嘅话语得失屋企人。我见好多父母都系我讲：哎呀，唔好逼佢信耶稣啦，系嘛？等佢自己嚟啦，系嘛？唔好逼佢信，唔好逼佢读圣经，唔好逼佢咁样。都唔系逼嘅，系嘛？即系当我哋要尊重佢，即系系咪信啦咁样。但圣经好清楚话俾你听，我哋有责任咧，将神嘅话语教导我嘅家人。万一你真系得你一个嘅时候，呢经文都提醒我哋，有时都要即系站稳我哋嘅立场，好似好好嘅读圣经。是有困难的，信耶稣今日经文提到呢，就是跟住提到那个的识睇时势，是吗？睇下一即是睇识睇时势，睇云彩，咪你落雨咯咁样，起风咯咁样，你们不知道分别这时代吗？是吗？越来越难呀，学校的教育引导我哋下一代离弃圣经，今日我自己都唔教嘅话，都唔讲嘅话呢，我哋简直拱手相让呢个战场。今日我哋会唔会忘记咗真係自己好的认定，将神的话语教导自己，也教导家人。在美国富勒神学院有个很重要的关于青年事工的研究，一个的报告，他说呢，咦，今天我们为什么啲后生仔即系离开教会呢？有后生仔怎会回那些教会呢？研究为什么有些人走，有些人离呢，有些人留低呢？好喜欢他这个调查，他就以为呢，我们即将这些事工呢，讲些玩多些，吃多些，轻松多啲，唔好吓走佢哋咧，啲人会留低。喺呢个调查唔系问翻啲后生仔，点解你要离开教会啊？啲人留喺呢间教会啊？嗰啲后生仔答翻嚟话唔系啊，唔系你简单啲、求其啲、轻松啲、玩多啲，我会留低啊？唔系啊，反而佢愿意留低佢嗰间教会系因为咩啊？个后生仔讲，佢话咧，因为 they are being challenged， 佢受到挑战，有人挑战佢遵行神嘅话语，有人挑战佢爱主，有人挑战佢认真去信仰，佢要留低。求其其飲食食，次次都是咧嘻嘻哈哈，佢咧翻教会翻嚟做乜嘢啫？嘥 gas 嘥时间，佢离开教会，有人挑战佢，认真去行神嘅话语，认真读圣经，认真去活出上帝使命，反而佢认真嘅留喺教会一起行，一起侍奉。所以今日同样嘅，与你屋企人，或你团友仔，或你亲戚小朋友，啊，觉得我哋都唔好用圣经吓亲佢哋啊！你唔好以为越系求其嘅话，反而更加悶親佢添，仲有機會睇篇文章嗰個 Pokemon 咧熱潮大級基督徒嘅一個啟示啊，都有好多嘅爭論啦，玩唔玩好啦咁樣。呢個咧，我中意呢個牧師， 喺啊刘生牧师，咁佢咧话咧，佢话咦，今日好多人咁中意玩，除咗咧我哋除咗即系批评之外，谂下其实，咦，其实佢成功都有三个紧要元素嘅，第一个系咩咧？就是、捉 Pokemon 啦，系嘛，有捉；第二咧就系、是、有打交嘛，我教好多 Pokemon 专嚟噶，可以比赛，可以啲人打交啊，啲 Pokemon。第三就系咧虚拟同真实嘅结合，即系明明对住电脑打机，突然间今日咦喺教会啊、出街啊、图书馆啊、行街都见到只 Pokemon 弹下咁样。佢呢个捉 Pokemon 啦，同埋有一战斗啦，同埋虚拟现实结合咧，其实三样嘢咁啲人好想去玩，亦都咧好中意玩。其实今日基督徒信仰咪都有呢三个元素咧。其实我都有嘅，其实谂下。今日都有属灵征战系嘛，我都打紧仗噶，同埋今日我都除咗捉 Pokemon 之外，好多好多嘅恩赐，好多侍奉机会等住我哋去做噶，同埋讲到虚拟与现实结合，我哋都系噶，因为见到耶稣啊，见唔到噶嘛，见到魔鬼见唔到噶，其实今日都喺虚拟与现实当中嚟到挣扎，今日见唔到耶稣啊，我凭信心知道耶稣喺当中，今日唔需要举起手机见到 Pokemon， 其实好多嘢，咦我基督教都有噶系嘛，会唔会用出嚟？引到啲後生仔同佢討論下信仰咧，教會呢幾日咧，或呢幾個禮拜都好多人企喺門口啊、草地啊咁樣喺度玩 Pokemon， 因為教會係 Pokemon Gym 啊嘛。咁佢同佢傾下偈咧，我試同佢傾下偈喎。咁、今日點啊咁樣？咁我唔係同佢講福音喎。今日你 level 幾啊？你 level 幾啊？咁樣捉啲乜嘢咁樣？咪傾下偈先啦。入嚟飲下咖啡啊！我教會有聚會喎、咁樣，試下慢慢傾下偈，慢慢同佢傾下咧信仰 Pokemon 都唔緊要，用唔同方法同佢表達呢個基督教信仰。其實我有啲更正嘅嘢喺裏邊。如果你喜欢看书的话呢，最后推介一本书给大家，你可以跟仔女讲，跟孙仔讲，或者跟你的、即亲戚朋友小朋友讲，这本书呢很好啊，就是讲到52礼拜圣经一些的灵修。你说我英文不好、可以读埋给你听的，我 download 了 app， 减价299啫，平我一杯咖啡。还可以呢有个按出来有 video 看添，咁啊 show 埋 video 出嚟，咁啊睇下啊嗰个嘢个故事呢系点样讲咁样。你话因为每个人都有唔同啦，啲人喜欢睇，喜欢读，有人喜欢睇动画咁样，就用呢个方法引导小朋友去认识对圣经有兴趣。如果你买本书嘅话咧，都有个 QR code， 你可以电话嘟一声，咁啊见到咧就一动画可以 show 出嚟，俾小朋友睇下。你部手机除咗打机之外咧，都可以读圣经嘅，都好嘅方法，用唔同嘅方法提醒佢哋可以咧去即系研读神嘅话语。最尾都讲一个嘅即系少少分享俾大家听，即系小朋友佢哋即系唔好睇小佢哋读圣经，佢哋帮佢被挑战嘅时候咧，佢哋可以咧。可以好認真嘅即係追求。我記得有機會喺7月1日咧，同我女坐車傾緊偈啦。喂，我信主時候咧，都係得我信耶穌啫，全家反對我咁樣。咁我夜晚咧就夜晚讀聖經啦，自所靈修啦咁樣。不過咧用10個月時間咧睇曬成本聖經啊咁樣。我鼓勵阿女，你都可以咧好嘅讀曬成本聖經咧，好嘛咁樣。咁我女話好啊，你用10個月時間太短啦，我1個月搞掂咁樣。我係咪啊咁樣？即係1個月時間咧，日以繼夜。成本舊約讀曬一個月，所以唔好挑戰啲後生仔，佢真係得嘅。要鼓勵挑戰佢，鼓勵佢真係唔好以為佢哋真係冇興趣。透過讀聖經，透過講解聖經，同一齊讀聖經、討論聖經，我哋可以激勵下一代，其實可以好嘅愛主。今日啲經文提醒我哋，神嘅話語可以改變我哋家庭，改變教會嘅家庭。盼望咧由我哋開始，我就唱一首詩歌，叫做咧。你的话上礼拜唱过啦，大家可能都会记得。
Through sermon series through the core values, and this is this month and September as well. We're going through the Bible. Bible, and it says in our core value statement, says that we believe that the Holy Bible is the inspired word of God and should be respected for faith and life. And the scripture should be the ultimate authority on all matters. Leaders will clearly preach, teach, and show the truth of God's word by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a couple of things that I want to point out about this statement right off the bat, because we're making certain assumptions here. So before we keep going in this on our message here, I want to break this down a little bit for you. So this first sentence, we believe that the Holy Bible is the inspired word of God. What does it mean for the Bible to be inspired? What does it mean that the Bible is inspired? Well, inspired basically means that the biblical authors, right, there are probably about 40 of them, give or take a couple, depending on how you look at it and who you agree is the author of the particular book. These biblical authors were inspired by the Holy Spirit. They're inspired by God to write the books that they wrote, right? So 1 Peter tells us that all scripture is breathed out by God. So God inspired these authors to write what they wrote down. Now, most people look at this in a couple of ways. First, a lot of scholars would say that the Holy Spirit like dictated word by word every single thing that the writers wrote down. So God says this, says write this, and then the authors wrote that down, right? Now, a lot of this is actually in the Bible. God gives Moses the law, right? In the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the Bible tells us that Moses wrote down the words of this law in a book. Okay? So a lot of the time, God actually tells the prophets something, they write it down, like the law, right? Later on, God tells Jeremiah, write in the book all the things I have spoken to you, right? So in these cases, God literally tells people what to write down. But most of Scripture wasn't written like this. Like, God didn't say, dictate everything in the Bible. Like, type this out. He didn't say to Paul, like, type this out, mail it out, all right? The author of Hebrews says that God spoke to our fathers by the prophets in many and various ways. So Luke says that he wrote his gospel in Luke chapter 1, first couple verses. He says that he's compiling a narrative from stories, based on stories from eyewitnesses to the life of Jesus, right? So Luke put all these things together based on research and interviews and storytelling. So most of the Bible wasn't dictated word for word by God, but the Bible does speak of dreams and visions, hearing God's voice, people who were with Jesus, people who saw Jesus, people who recounted his words and the things that he did, and all of that brought together by the Holy Spirit to be written down by the individual authors. Are you following with me? So you have human authors who write in their own style, with their own personalities, putting in their own character, and when they put pen to paper or pen to papyrus or whatever, they were writing their own words. But they were writing the words that God had wanted them to write. And so we have confidence that the words in this book, in the Bible, are God's very own words. And it was written by people who were inspired by God, by the Spirit of God, to write down these words, right? And because we know that these are his words, that these words, these are the actual and true, this book here is the actual and true word of God. Now, I'm telling you this because some of us grew up in church, we make the assumption that this is God's word without ever questioning why we call it God's word and how it is that this came to be God's word. But I want to make the point here that if we believe that this is God's word to us, the Bible, if this is how God chooses to reveal himself to us through text and through words and through pages, if we believe that these are God's own words, here's a question. Why don't we love it more? Why don't we take this more seriously? Why don't we read this more? Why wouldn't we want to get to know who God is by reading what he tells us about himself and how he's going to save the universe and all that's in here? Maybe this is God's word. This has got to change us somehow, right? That when we read it, when we study it, when we meditate on it, reflect on it, when we memorize this. But what does Scripture do for us? And I think that maybe we get stuck on, like, the place we get stuck on is that it's hard for something that's written thousands of years ago and to see how it can be used or applied to our lives now. We might believe in what happened in these pages. We might take it as historical fact, but it's hard to see how it applies to our lives today, right? And I get that. I get the difficulty in that. I understand that. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at Psalm 119, which is a passage of Scripture that really talks about what it's like to love and delight and find joy and salvation and hope in the Word of God. And we're going to talk about what the Word of God can do for us. It blesses us. It gives us life. It teaches us how to live. And so we're going to read quite a bit of the Bible right now. Like I said, there's 176 verses. We're going to read just a few of them, just a sampling of them. So if you can follow along with me on the screen, I'm just going to jump around through the passage. If you have your script Bible with you, you can follow along as well, but we're going to it might be easier if you follow along on the screen. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told them my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Remember your word to your servant in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. My eyes long for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me? Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words give life. It imparts understanding to the simple. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I call to you, save me, that I may observe your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. And we'll stop right there. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your word that gives life. And I pray, Lord, as we read through, as we look through this psalm, God, I pray that you just open our hearts up to more of you. I pray that we will learn to love it. I pray that you teach us, that we recognize just the power of your word to us, that you would teach us how to listen, that you teach us the things that you want us to learn. Lord, sometimes it's so hard to read your word and to understand it, God, but I pray that you would give us understanding, that you'd make us understand, so that we would know you, so that you would speak to us, and that you would change our lives. So, Lord, help us. Lord, I pray that I would not get in the way of your word being spoken this morning. Holy Spirit, would you be in this place teaching us? And I lift up my friends to you, God. Would we want and desire and be excited for more of you, that we'd find you in your word? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, we've just read a sampling of the longest psalm in the Bible, right? And it's the longest single chapter in the Bible in terms of the number of verses, right? And I said there's 176 verses of them. And all 176 verses in this psalm talk about the Bible, talk about the law. It talks about God's word. And an interesting factoid about this psalm is that it's divided, the way it's written, it's divided up into 22 sections, right? And each section corresponds to a letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So for example, but the cool thing is that if you read this passage, this psalm in Hebrew, each line in each section begins with that particular letter. So, for example, if I'm reading verses 1 to 8, and which is based on the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph, right? The first word in each line begins with the letter Aleph, right? If I read the next section, Beit, each line begins with Beit and so on, right? So, not sure what this means for us reading this in English, but it's a cool little factoid that I want to share with you. And it really speaks to the artistry of the Psalms, right? And in the original languages and the creative brilliance that some of these writers had and they were gifted with. So, but in reading this passage, I hope what we can get a sense, and as we read the sampling of verses here, I hope that we can get a sense of what God's word meant to this psalmist's life. Right? His whole life was wrapped up in it. It was central. It wasn't just the highest priority in his life. He just didn't make it just a priority. It's almost like the Bible was his life. Matter of fact, it's like his very life depended on these words, his law. You read, "My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word." Or verse 97, where it says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day." Right? And you get this picture of a person who's absolutely clinging to every word in this book as if their life depended on it. I mean, seriously, he wrote 176 verses just about the word of God. But how do we view the Bible? I mean, do we know the Bible? Do we read it? Do we even open it up on days other than Sundays? And even on Sundays, if that? Matt Johnson, one of my friends who guest preach here once in a while, he says it well, that when we read scripture during the day, it's literally the best part of the day because we are reading the very word of God. God's given us this precious jewel of a thing, and he's given to us to know him better. Everything that God wanted to reveal about himself to us is right here. But man, for a lot of us, it just sits on a bookshelf collecting dust. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, like newborn babies, he's encouraging us, crave pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up to salvation. Look, I know a lot of you want to grow in your faith. It's why you're here. It's why you keep being a part of this community. But if you want to take your faith really seriously, if your faith is this central to your life, if you really want to grow and experience God more in your life, you need to become more, a little bit more like the psalmist here who delights in the word of God. Man, it's everything to him. Jesus says in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word that comes from the mouth of God. So the Bible has got to become life to you. It's got to become something you cannot live without. Right now, though, I think that the Bible is kind of optional to a lot of us, right? Like, we could live without it if we needed to. And if we do read it on occasion, it doesn't mean that much to us when we do. Maybe our eyes go blank as we read it. Maybe it's like reading a textbook to us. But saying you're a Christian and knowing that the Bible is... saying you're a Christian and not knowing the Bible is like saying you're a doctor and not knowing basic anatomy, right? I mean, can you imagine like sitting in your doctor's office and your doctor's examining you and he's like, "Oh, that's what the heart does. I get it now," right? Or saying you're a race car driver but not actually knowing how to operate a car, right? You believe that a car is going to get you somewhere. You know where you're going with that car, but you wouldn't know when to step on the gas or when to step on the brake, right? You wouldn't know how to drive in traffic with other cars and follow the rules of the road. You believe that you're going to get somewhere, but you don't know exactly how it's going to get you there. Because you haven't spent time to learn about driving. But this is what happens for a lot of us. We believe that the Bible is the word of God. We believe that in the Bible, it tells us how do we get saved. But we don't actually know how it's going to happen because we don't actually take the time to sit down and spend some time studying the word, meditating on it, reflecting on it, seeing how it applies to us. But how do we get there? How do we get to a place where we are delighting in the word of God, just like the psalmist did? How do we get to a place where this isn't just ink on a page? So there are three things I want to point to you in this passage. There are way more I could point out, but I'm just going to do three. First of all, we need to recognize the power of his word. We need to be committed to his word. And thirdly, we need to ask God to teach us his word. So first thing is we need to recognize the power of his word. Second thing is we need to be committed to his word. And third thing is we need to ask God to teach us his word. So the first thing here, we need to recognize its power. There are a few things this passage says about the power of God's word. First, it says that it has the power to guard us from sin. Verse 9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word, right? This is maybe something we don't need to spend too much time on, but there are things that God specifically commands in his word, and we know if we fall short, if we don't obey his word, right? Like the Bible says, do not murder. And so if I go out and murder someone, I know I've fallen short. Bible says, do not steal. I know if I've fallen short, if I steal, right? But if we look at it, all of God's law can be summarized in the two greatest commandments, right? What are the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, right? And the second one is love your neighbor as yourself, right? So we've been saying, there's 613 laws in the Old Testament. All of them can be summed up in those two. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love people. They basically, all 613 laws basically use that as their foundation. If we don't love the Lord completely, more than anything else in our lives, then we know we've fallen short. Okay? Look, for example, the person I love most in this world is my wife, hands down, right? No contest. But if I love my wife, Cece, more than I love God, I know I've fallen short of the law. If Cece becomes more important to me than God is, I've fallen short. And so if your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your family or your dog or your career or your education or your belongings or your house is more important to you than God is, then you know you've fallen short. This is what Scripture tells us. The Bible tells us this. It says that you shall have no other God before me. You cannot make an idol that replaces me, right? I'm your God. I am the God, not me, but this is God saying. I am your God. I am the God. Nothing else is or should be. But as Scripture reminds me of this, it brings me back to what is right, what is good, what is proper, right? It brings me back to God. It calls out to me, okay, this is how I've missed the mark. This is where I've disobeyed. I need to get right with God. God, forgive me. Okay, this is what Scripture does to us. And so the Bible tells us where we've fallen short. Holy Spirit convicts us through what the Bible tells us, and we can get back to making it right with God. Right? Here's another power that the Bible has. It holds the secret to life. Verse 25 says, my soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. Later on, in verse 81, it says, my soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. So the Bible holds the secret to life because in the Bible we find the only true and authoritative record of what God is doing to save and redeem all of creation, beginning with us, humankind, okay? In other words, this book holds the only true telling of the gospel, all right? Without this, we wouldn't have the gospel. We wouldn't have the gospel. We wouldn't have the good news of how God is going to save us and all of creation along with us. That's why the psalmist writes, he says, give me life, what? According to your word. The Bible tells us how God is going to save us. Okay? We cannot come to a saving faith in Jesus without hearing and knowing God's words of promise that are written in this book. Paul writes in Romans 10, how are they going to believe in him in whom they have never heard? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. I don't know how it could be possible to be a Christian, to be saved in the death and resurrection of Jesus, without hearing and knowing the gospel, the good news that tells us about it. There might be something that God could do to someone in someone's life where you don't need the Bible, but I never seen it. I can't see it. You can say you believe in God. Lots of people believe in God, right? Or some form of God. But to believe in the gospel of Jesus is something else altogether. And the only way that God gives you life, the only way that you can find salvation in Jesus if you know what Jesus is all about. The only way you can know about what Jesus is all about is if you hear about what he's about or you read about what's written about him in this book. And it's this, that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, that he was raised to life on the third day. And that if we repent and believe in him, God gives us life, gives us his spirit to mark us as his adopted sons and daughters. He invites us to this banqueting table to enjoy him forever, and we can look forward to the day when there will be no more tears, no more sickness, no more sadness. Everything, every sad thing that you experience right now will come untrue. That's the gospel. But we only know that because we have this, God's word. That's the secret of life. It's not self-help books. It's not self-fulfillment, step-by-step guide to a new and better you. No, Jesus makes you better. Jesus gives you new life. The Bible's power is that it holds the secret to life and literally tells us the path to true life, and that's Jesus. And you'll find this in this book. Next thing, we are up against the wall of time, but we're going to power through this. We need to commit to his word. Check out the all-out commitment to the word the psalmist has. In verse 44, I will keep your law continually, forever and ever. Right? Verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Here's another one. Verse 106, I've sworn an oath. I've sworn an oath and confirmed it. That's commitment to keep your righteous rules. A lot of us, at some point in our faith journeys, we ask the question, is any of this worth it? Is going to church worth it? What does being a Christian really mean? Has it really changed my life? Is my life any different now that I'm a Christian? And these are good questions to ask, right? These are fantastic questions to ask, but here's another question that you need to ask yourself. Right? If you don't think your life has changed because you're a Christian, as opposed to if you weren't a Christian, if you don't think your life is any different from your friends who don't know Jesus, if you don't think it's changed you, here's the question. Have you let it? Have you let it change you? Have you allowed it to change your life? You read a famous passage like Romans 12:1, where it says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual worship, man. It says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't hang with this world and let it change you, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Right? I mean, can you say that you've actually tried to let this happen in your life? It's telling if you want your life to be transformed, you got to be willing to let go of it, to lay it down. You got to be willing to lay it down and offer it and present it to God. He's saying, here's my life, God. I'm offering it to you. Change me. And it's no use to say that you want God to transform your life without giving him your life. It's no use to say, here's this part of me, but the rest of this is mine. Like, what if you did this with your taxes? What if you did this with your tuition, right? I know I owe you $10,000 in taxes, so here's $2,000. I'll keep the rest. You won't get very far, will you? Matter of fact, they'll throw you in jail after a while, right? They'll kick you out of school. We wouldn't do that to Revenue Canada or to UBC or to whoever else we need to pay off. So why do we constantly do this to the only one that deserves everything that we are and everything that we have? The only one who's worth laying our lives down for. You'll never see your life changed by God if you don't offer your life to God. You never fully experience God. You want an aha moment, you'll never have it if you just sit there and let it try to happen to you. You'll never fully experience God if you've never committed yourself in any way to Him. You'll know what God is like if part of you commits to His word. Look, I'm not going to sit here and say that it's all going to be easy and smooth, that everything is going to come up all rosy and sunshine. I mean, look at what the psalmist says. He says, "With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord. Answer me, O Lord." And he wouldn't write this if he wasn't struggling with God, maybe being silent or he's not hearing from God. He says, "I rise before God and cry for help." And then this is a guy who's waking up in the middle of the night because he's so stressed out. He's so tormented by what he's struggling with. He's losing sleep over it. He's pleading with God to rescue him, but he's committed still. He says, "I hope in your words." Then in verse 164, he writes this, "Seven times a day I praise you for your righteous rules." You know what's going on here? He says, "Seven times a day I praise you." This is discipline. He's committed himself. He's saying, "I'm committing myself to reading it, to studying it, to reflecting on it. I'm going to let it read me, to search me 7 times a day. It's my hope. It's my hope." How do we get such hope? How do we get such help? How can we recognize the power of His word? Well, we need to ask God to teach it to us. We got to ask for it. We need to ask God to show us His word. The psalmist writes, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding," he says. "Lead me." A lot of times we read scripture and we're like, man, what is this even talking about? There's all kinds of cultural and historical things about that culture, specifically that culture, that, man, I'll never fully understand 2,000 years later here in Vancouver, Canada. But if you want to understand the word of God better, you need to ask God how to show it to you. You need to ask God to show it to you, to reveal it to you, to help you understand. So we can prayerfully read scripture. We can read it not like a textbook or in some mechanical way. It's like I need to spend 15 minutes reading the Bible for my devotions today so I can get out of the way. We read it with an open heart. We listen to it preached with an open heart. We say, "Here I am, Lord. What do you want to teach me in your word today? What do you want to show me?" You read it not to find answers just for yourself, but instead you read it for what God wants to reveal to you in your life. Now, and within the last couple of minutes, I'm going to end with this. I'll never forget reading 1 John for the first time. I mean, really actually reading it for the first time and studying it and reflecting on it. And I read in chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Man, it hit me hard. And this is what I mean by allowing the Bible to read you and search you. Sometimes if you let it, the Bible will show you things about yourself that you don't want to confront or feel, but you need to confront them if you want to grow. I read that and I'm just like, man, am I a liar? Do I really know Jesus? Am I following His commandments? And then later it says that His commandment is to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another. I would look at my life and the places and find places where maybe I didn't believe Jesus as much as I should, right? Where I'd be hanging on to my own life. I would be looking at all the ways and all the times in my life where I would be unloving to people, where I've judged people, where I thought to myself that I'm better than that person. The Bible was reading me. I wasn't reading the Bible. The Bible was reading me. It was searching my heart. It was refining me. And that's the litmus test, man. That's how you know Jesus. If you believe in Him and love one another like Jesus loved us. But the only reason I got to that point is was just that I allowed God to teach me His word, and not about, it wasn't just about me reading it to get answers. It's about allowing God to speak to me. The word of God changed me. It transformed me, how I relate to God and how I relate to people. So the fire bell is going to come up soon, but I'm going to end with this. The word of God is not easy. It's not. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of commitment. You need to lay yourself down. But His word, man, is a light to our feet. It's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And as we slowly discover it, it's going to unfold like that. Let it change you. Spend time in it. Meditate on it. Reflect on it. Let it search your heart. Amen. The fire bell is going to come on soon, in a couple minutes.